Translation. By reading Chaitanya Mangal, one can understand all the glories or truths of Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda, and come to the ultimate conclusion of devotional service to Lord Krishna. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam is the authoritative reference book from which to understand devotional service. But because it is very elaborate, few men can understand its purpose. Srimad Bhagavatam is the original commentary on Vedanta Sutra, which is called Nyaya Prasthana. It was written to enable one to understand the absolute truth through infallible logic and argument, and therefore its natural commentary, Srimad Bhagavatam, is extremely elaborate. Professional reciters have created the impression that Srimad Bhagavatam deals only with Krishna's Rasalila, although Krishna's Rasalila is only described in the 10th canto, chapters 29 to 35. They have in this way presented Krishna to the Western world as a woman, as a great woman hunter, and therefore we sometimes have to deal with such misconceptions in preaching. And another difficulty in understanding Srimad Bhagavatam is that the professional reciters have introduced Bhagavat Saptaha, or 7 days reading of the Bhagavatam. They want to finish Srimad Bhagavatam in 1 week, although it is so sublime that even one verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, if properly explained, cannot be completed in 3 months. Under these circumstances, it is a great aid for the common man to read Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur's Chaitanya Bhagavat. And thus, he can actually understand devotional service, Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, and Nityananda. Srila Rupa Goswami has said, Shruti Smiti Puranadi Pancharatra Vidimbina Oikantaki Harir Bhaktir Utpatyaiva Kalpate. Devotional service of the Lord that ignores the authorized Vedic literatures like the Upanishads, Puranas, Narada Pancharatra, etc., is simply an unnecessary disturbance in society. Due to misunderstanding Srimad Bhagavatam, people are misled regarding the science of Krishna. However, by reading Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur's book, one can very easily understand that science. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Si Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvasesha Shunyavali Paschata Dejatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vancha Kalpatrubhyascha Krupa Sindhu Bhavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So taking the blessings of all the senior Vaishnavas who are here and asking for their blessings to speak something on these verses of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Prabhupada here, and yesterday Garuda Prabhu had mentioned some aspects of this, knowing that he may not be here today, because he had written the thesis on the Rasalila himself for the academics. So he explained it quite substantially. But specifically here in today's verse, we're looking at the chronology of the biography of Mahaprabhu. And then we're looking at Prabhupada speaking on the Rasalila, and he's connecting that to the Srimad Bhagavat, but specifically because often the reciters of the Bhagavata, they will focus on the Rasalila and nothing else. So the biographies of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they were written within a decade of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's departure from this world. They were completed within a decade, which is very interesting, because other histories, the Bible wasn't written until 100 years after the departure of Christ. So after 100 years, so many things can be translated very differently. So within 10 years, the life of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was completed. And that's very important, because, you know, even within 1 year, what to speak of, what Prabhupada said and he did, is always debated, although it was only, in Prabhupada only said it, you know, 20 years ago. So, what to speak of 100 years from now. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's biography, within 10 years it was put together. And the first one was put together by Murari Gupta, and this was called the Shri Krishna Chaitanya Charitamrita, Murari Gupta. And all the latter works are based on this. They're all on the Kadachas, the diaries that were kept by Murari Gupta, and they were kept by Surab Damodar of the life of, because they were the personal servants. And then the next book which came in after this is based on this Shri Krishna Chaitanya Charitamrita. It was a book by Kavi Karnapu. And Kavi Karnapu, he put together his 10-act drama, which was called, anyone remember that? It was called the Shri Chaitanya Chandradaya. It was a 10-act drama which was written, and it was based on Murari Gupta's work, but it was the whole life of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is given in that work. The earliest Bengali rendition is what Prabhupada is talking about, and that's linking it to today's purport. And the verse is speaking about Chaitanya Mangal, and Prabhupada in the purport is saying it's the Chaitanya Bhagavat. And in fact, in the next verse, the actual verse, it says in Chaitanya Mangal, later known as Chaitanya Bhagavat. So Chaitanya Mangal and Chaitanya Bhagavat, same books which are mentioned. So the earliest Bengali rendition biography was by Vrindavan Das Thakur, and that's the Chaitanya Bhagavat or Mangal, whichever. Both are the same. There is another Chaitanya Mangal as well, and these were written by Jayananda and Lochan Das Thakur. So that also exists, which is different Chaitanya Mangal. But as Garuda Prabhu was speaking yesterday, he mentioned to us that should we not read this anymore? Should we read the Chaitanya Charitamrita or Chaitanya Bhagavat? What should we read? And he explained from his perspective, even as an academic, that the most accurate and the most devotional and most importantly containing the Siddhanta of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan was the Chaitanya Charitamrita of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. So this was the, and hence Prabhupada very much gave such importance to Shishi Radha Gokula Nandaki. And the Chaitanya Charitamrita was written in the early 17th century by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. The story is there Prabhupada tells of how if there is a flood and you have to go up to the roof and you can't take your belongings with you because the flood is getting higher and higher and higher. He says you take three books with you. The Bhagavad Gita, the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Chaitanya Charitamrita. You take the three books with you. And as the flood gets higher and higher, you can't lift, keep all of them. So he said, first you can put the Gita down. And as the flood gets higher and higher and your hand cannot hold everything, then you can put the Srimad Bhagavatam down. And then he said, even if the flood comes all the way to the top, you hold your hand and you just have the Chaitanya Charitamrita, because it contains everything. The Chaitanya Charitamrita, it contains everything. Everything is within the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Prabhupada speaks of so fondly of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and he speaks of the fact that he said in the future that people will learn Bengali just to read the Chaitanya Charitamrita. People will learn Bengali just because we are reading the English and transliteration. So it's very good. But when you read the original Sanskrit or the original Bengali, then there's a different rasa, as you may say. So Prabhupada said that simply to relish the Chaitanya Charitamrita, people in the future will learn Bengali. Of course, unless you are already Bengali and you know Bengali. So you don't need to learn Bengali then. You're one step ahead of us. But I think a few years ago, the United Nations, 10 years ago maybe, or 8, they voted that the sweetest language in the world is Bengali. The sweetest language. I don't know how they judge it, or what they use, or what the criteria is, but they said the best language in the world is Bengali. So hopefully after this class, everyone will rush out and try and get a book on how to learn Bengali. Or Sachi Mata will be giving lessons upstairs to everyone, how we can learn Bengali. Vrindavan Das Thakur, he obtained the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. So in this verse, one can understand the glories and truths of Chaitanya and Nityananda. So Vrindavan Das Thakur, he had obtained the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda. And what is the symptom of such a person who has obtained the mercy of Chaitanya and Nityananda? Threefold: Mukha Kavita, Pangu Gire Lange, and Anda Deka Tara Gane. Three symptoms of anyone that has obtained the mercy of Chaitanya and Nityananda, as in this verse. So Vrindavan Das Thakur, he had obtained this. So what is this? Mukha Kavita. And Vrindavan Das Thakur speaks about this very much, that if you have obtained the mercy of Chaitanya and Nityananda, a dumb man will speak poetry. We generally can't even speak poetry, but imagine someone who has never spoken ever in their life. All of a sudden they start speaking poetry. So this is the first symptom of the mercy of Chaitanya and Nityananda. The second was Pangu Giri Lange, which means that you may be a lame man, but you can cross mountains. Amazing. Generally to walk up Dharam Marg is a difficult thing, isn't it? Up and down, summer is coming, lose weight, or chant japa, whichever one is it, or both. We think, let's do that. But here, Vrindavan Das Thakur describes that Pangu Giri Lange, that if you have obtained the mercy of Chaitanya Nityananda, the lame man, he will cross mountains, let alone walk Dharam Marg. And finally, Anda Deke Tara Gane. that if you obtain the mercy of Chaitanya and Nityananda, that a blind man, he will see Taragane, stars in the sky. Stars in the sky. So if you want to know if you've achieved the mercy of Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya, these are the three symptoms which are given. Three symptoms. And hence, Vrindavan Das Thakur, he was able to write the Chaitanya Mangala, Chaitanya Bhagavat. How amazing. How amazing that he was able to do that. In the pastime of Vasudev the leper, it's described there that anyone who obtains the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he gets three results. This is in the pastime of Vasudev the leper. So we're talking about all these threes. All these threes. So what were they in the pastime of Vasudev the leper? They're given. They mentioned that they are Nashta Kushtam, Rupa Pushtam, and Bhakti Tushtam. So again, this is a nice indication that when you obtain the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and in that pastime when Lord Chaitanya, he embraced him, these were the three symptoms that were mentioned. So Nashta Kushta means you become freed not just from the external disease but from the internal disease. Labha Puja Pratishtha, name, fame and adoration. External disease is Vasudev the leper was immediately relieved, all the leprosy was gone. But it is more difficult to get rid of the internal disease. Labha, puja and pratishtha, name, fame, adoration. As Prabhupada said, even the pauper is proud of his penny. Isn't it? He thinks all of these rich people, they're so proud. But I'm very humble. But he's proud of his penny. Or in our devotional culture, we might look at it differently. Some devotee will be sitting in the corner and saying, I'm so humble, look at all of these other devotees. They're showing off. But he's proud of his humility. He's proud of his humility. So that's a translation from that side. And Rupa Pushtam, which means that he's so happy externally that he is also, he looks very beautiful internally. Rupa Pushtam, you look very beautiful. As Prabhupada often said, all my devotees, they are very beautiful. Use that word. Rupa Pushtam. What do they say? You can only have world peace when there is inner peace. Everyone is looking for world peace. United Nations, all of these places, they're all trying to see how can we get world peace. But how can you get world peace if there is no inner peace? So similarly in a devotee's life, it's the same thing. We're all wondering why there's so much anxiety. But unless there is inner satisfaction, simply through the process of devotion, then we can't always be happy. And finally, bhakti tushtam, which is the third symptom which is given. He is satisfied in his devotional life. So one becomes very satisfied in their devotional life. So these are three examples that are given in that. And often devotees may ask, and we tend to look at this, we often tend to look and say, how can I advance very rapidly in my devotional life? Isn't it? It's hopefully a question we ask every day. I think Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that every Ekadashi, you should evaluate where are you in your devotional life. Every Ekadashi, you should think. We generally think, oh no, no more. No grains, difficult day. What shall we eat? And Bhaktivinoda Thakur is reminding us, no, you instead think, where am I? I think Tamal Krishna Maharaj, we used to do that all the time, every day. Is that right, Rishabha? Every day he would, I think, look at what has he achieved and where is he lacking? And he would write it up. Where has he failed? And where does he need to improve? So, anyway, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says at least every Ekadashi we should do like that. Look back at our devotional life. See how we need to improve in our life. Socrates, when he was asked the same question by his disciples, same thing he was asked. He said that one of his disciples came and he said, I feel I am not progressing in my spirituality. Can you tell me the secret? How can I become successful in my spiritual life? So Socrates, he took him to the ocean. And the student thought that some ceremony will happen now. Some water will be sprinkled on him or something. But instead, Socrates, he put him under the water and he started to drown him. So the student was struggling. And then when Socrates saw that the bubbles were coming up, he pulled him up. So the student said, what was that all about? So Socrates asked him, what were you thinking about? He said, I was only thinking about one thing, and only one thing, and that was how can I have one breath of air? Because I couldn't breathe, so I was just wanted that one breath of air. And I couldn't think of anything else. So Socrates said, you will also advance spiritually when you become single-minded like this. That my life depends on the spiritual advancement. Just like you thought that your life depended on this one breath of air. And when you think like that, then you begin to advance. As Prabhupada says in his purport, Vyavyasattamika buddhirekeha kurunandana, that one who focuses, who becomes very determined, single-pointed, then he begins to advance. So that point being given there by Socrates is important, I thought. Interesting here as well. In the purport, there is a great deal there about the Rasa-lila there as well and how it's misunderstood. And there is quite a lot there about the Bhagavat Saptaha as well. Prabhupada is speaking about both of these items. And Narottam Das Thakur, in his songs, he directs us and he tells us not to try to understand the conjugal love of Radha and Krishna by our own endeavor. Radha Krishna Pranamora Jugala Kishore, in that song. He says we should try to understand this Yugala Priti, conjugal love, under the direction of the Goswamis, i.e. the books like Nectar of Devotion. It cannot be just done whimsically. He is pointing that out to all of us, that that's what we need to do. And then he goes on to say that so long as the mind is too much absorbed in materialistic thoughts, one will not be able to enter Vrindavan or the Rasa-lila. Vishaya charya kabhi shuddhe habe man, as he reminds us, when the mind is completely purified, being freed from all material anxieties and desire, I will then understand Vrindavan. Harabe Shri Vrindavan. And then I will be able to understand the conjugal love of Radha and Krishna at that stage. You know, the Rasa-lila has two types of responses. those that are staunch Vaishnavas. In India, there are certain groups that are very staunch Vaishnavas. And they only worship Krishna and nothing else. And their response to the Rasa Leela is to neglect the whole thing and forget it. Their mentality is not to think of Krishna as the person who dances with the gopis of Vrindavan. But they say it is better to meditate on Bal Krishna. Much easier to understand him. So these individuals, they neglect or avoid the controversy. And the moralist, on the other hand, they have a different take on it. Like Gandhiji. He had a different take on it. He said that if Rasa Leela is true, then Gita cannot be true. And he said if the Gita is true, then Rasa Leela cannot be true. And then he went on to say, if Krishna in the Gita is talking about such high morals and principles, surely he can't act against these principles by taking part in the Rasa Leela. So he came to his own conclusion and he said that there are two Krishnas. He said, one Krishna, he spoke the Gita, and there is another Krishna who danced in the Rasa Leela. And both of the personalities are not the same personalities. So that's how the moralists view it. So because he lived by the Gita and he couldn't, when he was asked, what do you think? So he's speculating new philosophies around it. So the moralists like to do that. And those that are staunch Vaishnavas, they avoid it. So one should not neglect the Rasa Leela nor speculate on some new philosophy out of it. And we have to understand the subject matter based on scripture. And one can only understand the Rasa Leela or Vrindavan by three things. Prachar, Vichar, Shishtachar. Three things. Prachar means the Sankirtan. Book distribution, the preaching, when you do these things, you begin to understand Krishna. Chanting of the holy names. Vichara, the study of the scriptures. Why Prabhupada is criticizing the reciters of the Bhagavatam is that they want to just speak about the 10th canto. And they're not speaking from the first canto upwards. And our Siddhanta is that the feet of Lord Krishna, that is the first canto, and the face of Lord Krishna, that is the 10th canto. So you have to begin with the feet, as our meditation is every morning in deity greetings. You begin at the feet and you move up to the face. So similarly, vichara means study. And there are nectar devotion, very elaborate. Rupa Goswami has very, very wonderfully explained this principle. And shishtachar, which means submissiveness. You want to understand the Rasa Leela, but you don't even understand that you are not the body. So people who have no concept of the philosophy, they want to understand the Rasa Leela. People who don't practice any spirituality, they want to understand the highest principle of it. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in his writings, he speaks about the analogy of the Rasa Leela, and he gives the analogy of the orchestra in the crematorium. And he says the orchestra in the crematorium, if you take an orchestra and you take it to the crematorium, and he said the ghosts will dance. So he said, orchestra is good, but the crematorium is the wrong place to take the orchestra. Because who will dance? Who will appreciate? Only the ghosts. So he said, similarly, Rasalila is good, but the ghosts of material desires will dance. Rasalila is good, but the ghosts of material desires, they will dance. So there is, I think when he, because he had the printing press, the Brihat Madanga, that was his great contribution, one of his great contributions, that he wanted that the sound of the holy name is heard everywhere, and the Brihat Madanga, and the press at the Bagh Bazar temple was right opposite the deities. So every day he would come and he would see that press. And Prabhupada, when he first came to the BBT building and the books were being printed, when Prabhupada entered the printing press, he paid his full dandavats to the printing press. And he told the disciples, this is non-different from Vyasadeva. So I'm paying my respects, non-different from Krishna. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he would have a printing press opposite the deities. So that everyone, they would acknowledge, yes, the book distribution is such a wonderful thing. So all glories to the book distributors who go out and distribute the books. Vishnu Mahaprabhu here, just telling me, wonderful day yesterday on book distribution. The sun was out. And more people were, and who other than Dhananjaya Prabhu was distributed so many books yesterday. So many books yesterday. So when he had this printing press there, and the scholars of the Gaudiya Math, Sundarananda Vidya Vinod and Ananta Vasudev, they had translated the Govinda Lilamrita, so which is very high topic. And they asked Bhaktisiddhanta, how many copies should we print of this book? And he said, 2 copies. He said, 1 for me and 1 for Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So no one else is eligible to read this book. So only print 2 copies. 2 copies is all we really need. So, interesting principle on that. But you know, the Rasalila is a very, very important thing. And one meditation I had on it was, it's such an important thing. And you know, if you look at the caliber of personality who wanted to enter into the Rasalila, then you can understand what it must be and how qualified we must be. And there are 3 personalities that wanted to enter the Rasalila. The first was Lakshmi Devi. And she said, I want to enter the Rasalila with you. And of course, he told her that you cannot because of your pride. You are in awe and reverence, Lakshmi Devi. Your pride will not allow you to come into the Rasalila. So of course, Krishna then instructed her to go to, is it Bilavan? Belvan? Belvan. Belvan forest, one of the 12 forests of Vrindavan. And to perform austerities. And she completed her austerities in Belvan. And she came back, and then Krishna gave her residence on her chest as the Srivastava. So then she was in the Rasalila with Krishna always. So Lakshmi Devi wanted to enter. Another person who wanted to enter was Narada Muni. And he was a sannyasi. a great renunciate. Why should he be interested in entering it? And what to speak of, is it immoral? I mean, he was so against immorality in the sense that even the sons of Kuvera, when they were naked, he cursed them. He couldn't stand immorality on that level. What to speak of this, of dancing with other people's wives? He was so strict about it, but still, he wanted to enter it. And he performed austerities at Kusum Sarovar. We go to Kusum Sarovar in Vrindavan, we go there. And he's residing there as a clump of grass. But he took the body of a gopi, and that was called Narada Gopi. And he entered the Rasa Leela through that. And finally, the third person who wanted to enter, Lord Shiva, and he's the most Vaishnavanam Yathashambhu, the highest amongst all the Vaishnavas. He has no material desires. He's so detached from everything that when he is speaking the Bhagavat, his wife is sitting on his lap. Now, if we were to do that, there'll be a problem here. We'd have to be escorted off the premises. Regardless of who you are. But Lord Shiva, he is sitting there and he's speaking to 10,000 sages on detachment. And Parvati is sitting on his lap. And of course, Chitraketu, he was watching this and he said, "What? This is hilarious," he said. They're hearing a whole class on the Bhagavad about detachment and his wife is sitting on his lap. Of course, so Parvati became a little angry, of course. And she cursed him. And that's the whole story of Chitraketu Maharaj. It goes on. But anyway, here Lord Shiva, he performed his austerities at Manasiganga. That's where he performed his austerities. And he obtained the body of Gopeshwar Mahadev. He also entered the Rasa Leela. So if we see that, if Lakshmi Devi, if Narada Muni, Lord Shiva, these are amazing personalities, the most moral of all persons, they want to enter the Rasa Leela. So should we listen to them, or should we listen to some other moralists and others who are speaking from some other perspective? Verses here also were very important because they were speaking about Vrindavan Das Thakur, who's the author of the Chaitanya Mangala, as Prabhupada calls it, or the Chaitanya Bhagavat later on, he says. And here's some very wonderful things about Vrindavan Das Thakur, which are there in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. That he's an incarnation of Vyasadeva. The same Vyas who came 5,000 years ago, thousands of years ago, when he compiled the Vedas, he comes in the Chaitanya Leela again as Veda Vyas. But Prabhupada in the purport also says that it's an incarnation of Veda Vyas and also a friendly cowherd boy named Kusuma Pida. So he's both. He's Vedavyas, but he's also a cowherd boy, Kusuma Pida. He was the son of Narayani, who was the niece of Srivas Thakur. And Narayani every day would eat the remnants of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. She would every day get the... And it's described that Narayani was one of the maids in Krishna Leela. She was one of the maids that was looking after Krishna. And she in Chaitanya Leela comes as Narayani. I think it's a little verse further on that will come up, so we won't speak too much on that there. The Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he says as follows. Prabhupada speaks of this, that Vrindavan Das Thakur is Lord Nityananda's favorite devotee. And therefore, he is the original Vyasadeva in describing the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in the purport, Prabhupada says, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that all the writers after Vrindavan Das Thakur who are pure devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and who have tried to describe the Lord's activities are to be considered like Vyas. Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur is the original Vyas in describing Chaitanya Leela. And all others who follow in the footsteps by describing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime are also called Vyasadeva. The bona fide spiritual master is called Vyasa because he is the representative of Vyas. Worshipping the birthday of such a spiritual master is called Vyasa Puja. This is just Prabhupada giving Prabhupada in a lecture in Boston in 1969 says the following. By this time, contemporary and near-contemporary scholars and devotees had already written several biographical works of the life of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. These included Chaitanya Charit by Murari Gupta, Chaitanya Mangal by Lochan Das Thakur, and Chaitanya Bhagavat. The latter work by Vrindavan Das Thakur, who was then considered the principal authority on Chaitanya's life, was highly revered. While composing this important work, Vrindavan Das Thakur, fearing that it would become too voluminous, avoided elaborate descriptions, many of the events of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life, particular in the latter life. And that's true. The Chaitanya Bhagavat primarily focuses on the childhood pastimes. And hence, Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami also doesn't spend too long on that because there is so much in Chaitanya Bhagavat. From the Gaudiya Bhasya by Bhaktisiddhanta. This is interesting as well. Wonderful social reconciliations of the conclusions of devotional service are written in the golden words by Vrindavan Das Thakur in various places throughout Chaitanya Bhagavat. His service attitude towards his spiritual master, Sri Nityananda Prabhu, is incomparable. No scholar of that time in Navadvipa or the world could stand before him. So these are some thoughts there, which I found there. And the book Chaitanya Bhagavat, how many people have read Chaitanya Bhagavat? Amazing. It's a great rendition. And just like we have in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the invocation, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, or in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. So the invocation in Chaitanya Bhagavat is the first verse. And it's a beautiful verse, which describes very wonderfully. Ajanulambito bujo kanakavadatu sankirtanaika pitaro kamalaya taksho vishwambaro dijavaro yugadharmapalo vande jagadpriyakaro karunavataro. This is the first verse of Chaitanya Bhagavat, and it's wonderful meditation here. You can close your eyes and meditate on this first verse as it says the following. I worship the lordships Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, whose long arms extend down to their knees, whose beautiful complexions are radiant yellow like molten gold, and whose elongated eyes are like red lotuses. They are the topmost brahmanas, the guardians of religious principles for this age, the most munificent benefactors of all living entities, and the most compassionate incarnations of God. They initiated the congregational chanting of the names of Krishna. First invocation, Ajanulam Bito Bujukanaka Vadato. Beautiful. This is Vrindavan Das Thakur writing in this verse. Then finally, concluding on this Bhagavad Katha. The Prabhupada mentions the Bhagavad Katha and in a letter that he wrote to Yashomati Nandan. And Yashomati Nandan says, in conversation he had with Prabhupada as well, that Prabhupada said that he was never against Bhagavad Katha, but we should be doing the Bhagavad Katha. So he wasn't opposed, he said that's the principle. Bhagavad Katha or Saptaha, 7 days, is a principle because Sukadev Goswami, he spoke for 7 days and 7 nights, of course. So we only do 7 days, we don't do the nights. So he said we should be reciting, we should be speaking the Bhagavad. So we do have it. Different devotees in our society, they do the Lokanath Swami does, Radha Govinda Maharaj does. Different devotees are always doing the Bhagavad Katha or Bhagavad Saptaha. So Prabhupada very much wanted us to do this. And the Srimad Bhagavatam is a wonderful book. We've spoken about Chaitanya Bhagavat, we've spoken about Chaitanya Charitamrita. But equally Prabhupada is glorifying the Srimad Bhagavatam in that purport. That all the conclusions are there within the Srimad Bhagavatam. So the great scholar and academic Ralph Waldo Emerson, he says this about the Srimad Bhagavatam. He said, it is a book to be read on one's knees. The Srimad Bhagavatam is a book to be read on your knees. That means very submissively. It's such an amazing book that he says you should read it on your knees. And Prabhupada in the purport speaks about the fact that one verse of the Bhagavatam you could speak for 3 months. Just one verse. And that was there when Prabhupada was in Parikrama, Vrindavan Parikrama, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. For that 1 month, he just spoke on the first line of the first verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Just the first line he spoke for 1 month, every day he was speaking. So Prabhupada is saying one verse you can speak for 3 months. Of course, our ability to hear is not so amazing. We may not find so many people there. So we go from one verse to the next verse to the next verse. And the Bhagavatam, it is a narration within a narration within a narration. Vyas originally speaking to Sukadev. Sukadev is speaking to Parikshit. And Sudha Goswami is speaking to Shonaka Rishis and the sages at Naimaisharanya. Narration within a narration within a narration. Sridhar Swami, of course, is the great commentator on the Bhagavatam. And Sanatana Goswami, he gives a summary of it in what's known as the Brihat Bhagavatamrita. So both are there equally. And to end on a story, Lord Brahma, he was trying to weigh all the different important scriptures. So he put the entire Vedic literatures on one scale. So he had a scale, a transcendental scale. All the Vedic literatures, whatever was been written, millions and millions of verses, he put them on one side. And he wondered, how can I balance it on the other side? How will I balance it? So Srimad Bhagavat was placed on the other side. And the billions of literatures immediately balanced with one Srimad Bhagavat. So we're glorifying Chaitanya Mangal, as the purport said, or the Chaitanya Bhagavat. We are glorifying Chaitanya Charitamrita, and finally we are glorifying now in concluding the Srimad Bhagavatam. So all three are there. There is no flood. We don't have to throw the Gita away or the Bhagavatam away and just read the Chaitanya Charitamrita. We can read all three in progression from the graduate study, or the ABC, As Prabhupada said, the Gita is our most fundamental book. It's the ABC of spiritual life. And then the graduate study is the Srimad Bhagavatam. And if you decide to do a doctorate, he says that is the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So these are the three levels of understanding within our scriptures. Gaur Premanandi.